God's word is Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. This is the word of God. You shall not commit adultery. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. We pray that you would grant an ear to hear your word, and through your word that we will be able to hear the loving voice of our God, you, our Father. Tell us about Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Let us meet Jesus in your word and have wonderful fellowship with him. Let us see what he has done, what he has accomplished, and let us rejoice because of them. And we pray, Father, that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our study of Ten Commandments. Today, seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. All sexual relationships other than with your own one wife or own one husband are prohibited by God. They are all sin in the sight of God. The Bible is very clear that it is God's will that all sexual desires must be satisfied within the marriage with one wife and one husband. Before we go on this subject, let me just read to you larger catechism. You know, we study shorter catechism, but there is also a larger catechism. Number 138 and 139. The larger catechism, 138. The duties required in the seventh commandment are chastity in body, mind, affection, words, and behavior, and the preservation of it in ourselves and others, watchfulness over the eyes and all the senses, temperance, keeping of chaste company, modestly in apparel, marriage by those that have not the gift of continency, conjugal love, and cohabitation, diligent labor in our callings, shunning all occasions of uncleanness, and resisting temptations thereunto. The larger catechism, number 139. The sins forbidden in the seventh commandment, besides the neglect of the duties required, are adultery, fornication, rape, incest, sodomy, and all unnatural lusts, all unclean imaginations, thoughts, purposes, and affections, all corrupt or filthy communications or listening thereunto, wanton looks, impudent or light behavior, immodest apparel, prohibiting of lawful and dispensing with unlawful marriages, allowing, tolerating, keeping of stew, meaning a neighbor occupied by brothels, and restoring to them, entangling vows of single life, undue delay of marriage, having more wives or husbands than one at the same time, unjust divorce or desertion, idleness, gluttony, drunkenness, unchaste company, lascivious songs, books, pictures, dancings, state plays, and all other provocations to or acts of uncleanness, either in ourselves or others. So obviously, these people who wrote our catechism understood this commandment in a much broader sense. And we agree with them. One is able to be naked without shame only in front of one's own wife or husband. Some argue that the society developed the marriage, as the society developed, the marriage became necessary, and that is how the marriage began. But the Bible is very clear. The marriage is a creation ordinance of God. God instituted the marriage from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28a, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. And this is accomplished by the marriage between a man and a woman. God created Adam and Eve, a man and a woman. God created the two human beings, the first two human beings, as a husband and a wife. God did not create two men or two women. The homosexuality is not the will of God for us. It is sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies will be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their woman exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Now, this is not a command to hate the homosexuals, no. We must treat them just as the other sinners, always with love. We must share the gospel with them, but the Bible is very clear. Homosexuality is sin. It's not what God desires for us to engage in. Now, some people will argue, but I'm born that way. And we'll agree that they are born that way. Just like I am born with the tendency to sin. I have a sinful desires, and I could say to you, I'm born that way. Which I did. Does that mean it's okay to just do it? Because I'm born that way? See, that kind of argument is not good argument according to the Bible. Just because I'm born that way doesn't mean I just give in to that kind of sinful desire. I need to live according to the Word. I need to obey God. That's why there are certain sinful desires in me right now, but I resist. I fight. I don't give in. Because to do so is sin. But, again, we're not saying you are to go out and hate the homosexuals. No, they need to hear the gospel also. And their sin and the sins that you and I commit, it's all the same. Because all sins, the penalty of them is eternal hell. Now, God did not create one man and many women, nor one woman and many men. Thus, polygamy is also sin in the sight of God. The marriage was instituted by God, and we must follow the will of God when we want to marry. Just loving one another is not the sufficient reason for a biblical marriage, like in a homosexual relationship. And we're not denying that that could be loving relationship. You know, they really care for one another. All that is fine. But it's still against the Word of God. And once you are married to a man or a woman, then that marriage is until death. Divorce is sin in the sight of God, apart from unfaithfulness of your husband or wife. You know, I don't love her or I don't love him anymore is not a valid reason for a divorce. He or she makes me miserable is not a valid reason for a divorce. Irreconcilable difference. You know, most of divorce papers would say that, right? Reason. Just irreconcilable differences. It's not a valid reason for a divorce according to the Bible. The worldly court will allow it, of course, but heavenly court will not allow it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, "But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity," meaning unfaithfulness, "makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." So it's not just that you guys, you know, not you guys, I should say like that, right? When they divorce, then somebody marries that divorced person, then they're both committing adultery. Unless that divorce is a biblical one. Now, this is not to say that all sins could be forgiven by God when you believe and you repent. A divorce is allowed only when the other partner has been unfaithful. The marriage is until death. Even when you feel you cannot work it out with your husband or your wife, unless your life is in danger, you must obey God, trust God, and He will bless your marriage. God is the only hope of your marriage, and you must remember that. As you could see, you know, I lived, about 54 years now. The world has changed a lot in those 54 years, especially in terms of divorce. Now, divorce is a common thing. But not only in terms of divorce, but in everything else, the world is going against what God wants. They have no intention of following the Word of God. This is why it is so hard to live as a Christian in this sinful world. And it will be harder for you young people in the future. But wherever there's sin, God says there will be more grace. So you just have to trust God. When He pours out His grace, that's the only time when you are able to live according to God's will. Now, I must say something before going on here. And I'll do that as I read to you 1 Corinthians. Why don't we go there together? 1 Corinthians. Chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me read to you from verse 1. "Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." I mean, Paul starts out, it is good for a man not to marry. Verse 2. "But because of immoralities, Each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. But we are born with sexual desires, and if we're not married, then there's so much opportunity to sin because of that. And obviously, that is not the only reason why we marry, but that's what this chapter is dealing with. Now, go down to verse 8. But I said to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I. Well, Paul never got married, we believe. And what he's saying is that if you're not married and if you're a widow, then stay single. Verse 9. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Again, because of that desire that we have, we have so much opportunities to sin because of that desire if we're not married. If you don't have that self-control, then it's okay to marry. But it will be better not to marry. Verse 25. Now, concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned, yet such will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. Man, Paul says it like it is. And this is God's word, it's the truth. So yes, it's better to stay single, but there's certain things you need to consider. And it's okay to marry. It's not sin if you marry. But Paul is saying, I want to spare you of all these problems. Stay single. Verse 32. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, this is what I want to say before we go on. That's why we read that. I'm talking to you Christian singles. Don't think that God is not blessing you just because you are single. And brothers and sisters in Christ, do not look at them, the singles, with pity. It's actually the other way around. They should look at you. Because Paul says, don't marry, and I say that because I want to spare you from all these problems in the life. Because especially in Asian culture, if a girl doesn't marry and she gets, you know, a little bit old, and people look at that person as if there's something wrong with that person. That somehow, you know, we should pity them. So sad. No, that is not what the Bible teaches. That's how the world sees it. See, the world and the Bible is completely opposite. Does that mean don't marry? No, marry, please. be fruitful, God says. But if you have that self-control, it's better not to marry. That fact still remains as a fact. So don't look at, you know, the singles in our church with, you know, as if they're what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, just understand. They have more opportunity to focus on Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that is the purpose of our lives anyway. Okay. But remember, just because you are not married this time does not mean that your situation is a sad one or bad one. You do not have to envy someone who is married. And for those who are married, be faithful and fulfill your duty to your husband and to your wife. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 7. I'm going to read from verse 3. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. And come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So, you know, don't say, oh, I have a headache tonight. You know, that is not what you are to do. Stop depriving, because we're talking about do not commit adultery. And because of these things, there are more opportunities to commit this sin. We have duties to one another as a husband and a wife. Now, are you an adulterer? Or do you believe that this commandment has nothing to do with you? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 says, "But I say to you," meaning Jesus says to you, "that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." It's very clear to say everyone is guilty. And the Bible clearly teaches that the acts of loving this world more than God, the acts of loving oneself more than God, as the acts of committing the spiritual adultery. We are all guilty. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22 says, "If a man is found lying with a married woman, then both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel." Now, obviously, we don't do that today. Does that mean that now, in the New Testament, God is okay with adultery? No. It's not that it's now okay to commit adultery, but you look at the cross. Jesus had to die for our sins. Sin is not just, you know, there's some confusion. Some people think that God just so jolly that He just forgives sins. No. God cannot forgive any sin unless that sin is paid for. It's only because Jesus died for that sin that sin is forgiven. Not that God just forgives that sin because he's just good God. Then the question is, then why does God treat the adulterer so harshly? I mean, he says to kill them. Why? Because of what marriage and the union of a husband and wife symbolize and witness. The marriage witnesses the relationship between God and his people. Isaiah 54 verse 5a, "For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts." Let us go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22. "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." Now, wives must obey the husband. The husband must love the wife. But the reason behind that is what? It's this relationship between the Christ and his church. It's not just that wife must obey the husband, but wife must obey the husband just as the church obeys its husband, Jesus Christ. So as wife obeying the husband, what she's doing is witnessing the reality, this relationship between the husband, eternal husband, Jesus Christ, and his wife, the church. That's the purpose. It's not just morally or any other reason, but purpose is always Jesus Christ. And husband must love the wife as Jesus loved his church. How did Jesus love his church? Well, he died for the church. Husband must die for the wife. That's how much the husband has to love the wife. And believe me, if a husband loves the wife with his life, I don't see there's any wife who will not obey you if she's a Christian. So through marriage then, we are to witness the relationship between the church and Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. Of course, non-Christians, they have so many other reasons why they get married. But for Christians, this is the purpose. Now, we are at Ephesians chapter 5. You go on down to verse 28. "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church." Now, if you go to Genesis, you will find that verse 31 is quoted from Genesis. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. chapter 2, verse 20. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, God makes Eve out of the rib of Adam. I mean, you know, you wonder why non-Christians will not believe the Bible. I mean, it sounds fantastic. But this is what happened. But there's reason why God did it this way. Everything is about Jesus Christ. So, let me explain. As soon as God makes Eve out of the rib of Adam, Adam says to Eve, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh," meaning that this is my body, because she was made from the part of his body. Paul tells us that the church is the body of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is our eternal husband. Just like Adam was husband to Eve, and Adam says to Eve, "This is my body." Just like we, as his church, is the body of Christ. And Genesis 2:21 says, "A deep sleep to fall upon the man." Now, deep sleep in the Bible is a picture of death. The wife is created in the context of the husband's death, symbolically. Why? Because through the death of Jesus Christ, our eternal husband, the church, his wife, is created as his bride. See, there's a reason why God does it this way in Genesis. It's to show what is true of Christ. Now, Eve is created as a helper suitable for Adam. Because first, God created all the animals, but he could not find any animal that was suitable for him. So this whole notion of animals, especially dog, can give what is necessary, you know, this companionship, what is necessary to man, it's just not biblical. He couldn't find anything. That's why God created woman. A suitable helper for men. Now, Eve then is a helper suitable for Adam, like Adam and Eve are covenantal servants of God. And verse 24 says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He left his father and joined to his wife, the church, and became one with the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17 says, "Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he said, 'The two shall become one flesh.' But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." So Jesus left his father and marries the church, his body, and they became one flesh. More precisely, one spirit. And he says, for this reason, man leaves his mother and father. Understand that? You girls do not, never, never marry a mama's boy who will always go back to mommy. I don't know what to do. You fight with your wife and he goes to mommy. Ay, ay, ay. You know who I'm talking about. There are so many mama's boys out there. Do not marry them. You are to leave your husband. I mean, leave your father and mother. Man, it's just heresy. If you just cut that out and this is what Pastor Kim says, then man. No, you are to leave. If you are a man, you are to leave your father and mother. Leave. You are now head of the family. It's your responsibility now. I mean, I'm just overstating this. I mean, it's okay to go ask your parents after you're married, you know, their opinion and all that, but not all the time going back and ask as if, you know. No. This mystery is great, just as Paul said. See, God created Adam and Eve in the way that he did, just to show what is true of Jesus Christ and his church. See, there's always a reason why God does how he does it and what he does. It's always to witness Jesus Christ. And we are to understand that. So even through our marriage, we are to witness Jesus Christ, his relationship to his church. And this is the chief purpose of our marriage. That is why you need to marry someone who understands this. Biblical understanding of what marriage is. Otherwise, then you're going to live apart from biblical purpose. And that is not good. That's why when I marry people, I require a marriage preparation classes, which is a Bible study, but depends on, you know, the situation. Some can go long, some can go short. But I would clearly, I would want anybody that I marry to understand the biblical purpose of what marriage is and what purpose that marriage has. Otherwise, then your whole marriage will be apart from the biblical reasons. See, the gospel is one beautiful love story. As we have seen already last week, when we looked at the book of Revelation, God was our husband from the very beginning, but we were unfaithful wife. We prostituted with the other man, the world, but our husband loves us forever. Jesus, our eternal husband, comes to marry us. He cleansed our filth with his blood, and he gave us beautiful wedding gown, his righteousness, and we are married to him forever and ever. And there is no more divorce in heaven, and there is no more adultery in heaven. And this is our eternal reality of heaven that our Lord has already accomplished for us. And we must witness this reality through our earthly marriage, the marriage without adultery. But are we confident? Are we able? No. Because the Bible says if you look at another woman with a lustful eyes, you already commit adultery in your heart. See, every time we see a movie, we commit adultery with that stars. I mean, why are they stars? Because they're beautiful. And when you look at beautiful person of opposite sex, or even, I don't know, these days it's not like that, but you commit adultery in your heart. How can you not? That's why it's better to just avoid the whole thing. But I know you're not going to do that. That's why it's no more fun for me to watch this kind of stuff. Oh, I used to be like, you know, watch every movie that come out. Now, just so many things bother me. We are not able. The Old Testament clearly showed us how we are not able. Abraham, Jacob, King David, Solomon. I mean, they commit adultery. And they sin with people with much stronger faith than all of us. And Israel as a whole, they commit spiritual adultery against God. But brothers and sisters in Christ, look at what our Lord Jesus has accomplished for us. Colossians chapter 1 verse 22, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26 and 27, so that he might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2b, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has cleansed us and keeps us clean. No matter how much we have sinned, we have become pure virgin in Jesus Christ. And you must understand that. You are pure virgin, never committed adultery, never sinned in Jesus Christ. That's why when you marry your eternal husband, Jesus Christ, you marry him as a pure virgin. Because his blood has cleansed of all your filth, and he gave his righteousness to you. And this is what has happened to you, and you must understand. And as a pure virgin who are now married to Christ, what kind of life I must live? I mean, that's so obvious. We cannot commit adultery anymore. Even in our hearts, we must fight not to commit that adultery. It's because of who we are, or who we have become in Jesus Christ. We're pure virgins. And as such, we have married our eternal husband, Jesus Christ, and we have begun our perfect married life of heaven, a married life without adultery, married life with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are called to witness that reality in our earthly marriage. We are able to do that only in Jesus Christ. Okay, your past life might be filled You might commit adultery. You might commit adultery so many times in your heart, like myself. But understand what kind of person you have become in Jesus Christ. You're pure virgin. 100% devoted to your eternal husband, Jesus Christ. And in Christ, you will not be defiled anymore. As long as you trust Christ, and long as you believe in Him, you will remain pure virgin for eternity. And when you see yourselves in heaven, meaning when you die, when you go to heaven, from then on, there will be no more adultery in your life. There will be no more sin in your life. You're going to be that holy bride of God forever and ever. But that reality has already accomplished for you spiritually. It is who you are, even now. So do not commit adultery. Another way of saying it is just live as who you are. Live as the person whom Jesus Christ has made you to be. That's what it's saying. That's who you are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you that you have made us pure virgins. And as such, we have already married our Lord, our eternal husband, Jesus Christ. That joyful marriage life has begun. Oh Father, let us truly love our husband, Jesus Christ, and Him alone. One day, we will be able to live like that, 100%. But even now, let us believe what kind of person we have become in Christ, and let us do our best to witness that reality. Let us remain pure for our Lord, Jesus Christ, our eternal husband. We thank you, pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.